McCormick on the growing frustration over the current government rollout.
Frustration in Mississippi, where doses are now restricted.
It's just a big miscalculation.
In Nashville, Mayor John Cooper.
We are limited by the amount of vaccine that we have received.
In Kentucky, they're promising.
Every Kentuckian will have access to the vaccine. And everyone will have their turn.
But even with vaccination centers operating 24 hours a day in New York City, people are being turned away.
People will die because of this failure.
Medical experts are calling the vaccine rollout haphazard at best.
Pentagon says it's reached a goal of dropping down to 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 242 points. This is CBS News.
CBS News Radio is your home for breaking news. With our team of reporters around the country and the world, we give you the coverage you can trust.
Newsmax TV is the biggest thing on cable news, with shows including Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, and more. Every night, watch Newsmax's number one show, Greg Kelly Reports. Greg Kelly tells you the truth about Trump. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide or tell your operator you want Newsmax. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV. And download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. It's free, so get Newsmax TV anytime, anywhere.
The Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes is back. Every time the score changes, someone wins $50,000. Plus, two grand prize winners will win $500,000 they could use toward their dream home. See rules and enter for free at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Rocket Mortgage, official mortgage sponsor of Super Bowl 55.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 U.S. and D.C. of age of majority. Ends February 4th. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030. The NFL is not sponsored promotion in any way.
A tough diagnosis for a former sitcom star.
His representative says Dustin Diamond, who played Screech in the original Saved by the Bell, has been diagnosed with cancer.
It made me realize that there are a million fish in the sea and I'm just a worm to attract them.
No details on Diamond's specific condition, but his rep says he's hospitalized and undergoing medical testing. Diamond's 2009 memoir, Behind the Bell, distanced him from the rest of his former castmates. He was not included in last year's reboot. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
The woeful New York Jets made history with a new head coaching selection. Robert Saleh is the first Arab-American Muslim head coach in the NFL. He's been the highly touted defensive coordinator at San Francisco. 49ers cornerback Richard Sherman tweeted congrats, saying the Jets got a great one. Saleh spoke with four other teams about vacancies. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Timeshare owners, what I'm about to share may save you thousands of dollars. I'm Gordon Newton, president of the Newton Group and author of The Consumer's Guide to Timeshare Exit. In the last 15 years, I've heard everything imaginable from exit companies trying to get you to hire them. I've heard them advertise a money-back guarantee. The truth is, those guarantees fall flat time and time again as bad exit companies file for bankruptcy and take your money with them. I've heard them try to earn your trust, claiming they pioneered timeshare cancellation in 2008. The ugly truth is, that's not possible. Newton Group has been leading the exit industry long before that. I've even heard exit companies pay celebrity endorsers to convince you they're experts. The truth is, the experts at Newton Group wrote The Consumer's Guide to Timeshare Exit. Every year, timeshare owners lose millions of dollars by hiring the wrong exit company. If you want out of your timeshare, call Newton Group at 800-500-1763 for your free no-obligation consultation and free copy of the guide. That's 800-500-1763 or newtongroup.com.
The following program is paid for by Zach Yenser. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Welcome aboard here as we close out the week. A full show today, as it usually is. We'll spend the first half of the hour here in just a minute with Brian Ellerman, the founding director of Arizona Forge, the entrepreneurial mindset founder success venture launch unit of the University of Arizona. We'll talk about entrepreneurship in the region and what the university is doing to drive it forward. We'll also talk with Jason Robinson, of Mass Mutual to close about financial planning in 2021 and why it should be on your radar. In between, I'll close out the week, as we often do on Friday, making sense of the week that was. And we'll talk some impeachment, and I will share my challenges with it that have nothing to do with politics or this president or that president, but about procedure, policy, and people. And we'll talk about why our politics have not become about solving problems, but about making sure that they happen endlessly. My thoughts and more on that. That's our hour today. Let's go ahead and welcome in now Brian Ellerman on our live line. Brian, good morning to you, sir. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Zach. How are you doing?
Doing well. Happy New Year. It's good to talk with you here on our live line. And just to get started, I already mentioned Arizona Forge, the Entrepreneurial Mindset Founder Success Venture Launch Unit of the University of Arizona. Give us the better definition of Arizona Forge, what you guys do, and how it fits into the larger ecosystem of University of Arizona initiatives to drive entrepreneurship forward in our region.
Sure. Forge stands for Finding Opportunities and Resources to Grow Around Entrepreneurs. We like to say we're all about molding entrepreneurial minds. And that really extends from within the university outward to the community and beyond. We've developed what we call Forge's three C's, which are campus, community, and capital. And so Forge has three departments. Each one is focused on one of those C's.
Got it. Now, we've talked to, Carol Stewart. We've talked with the folks over at Tech Launch Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona is a supporter of this program and the message that we're trying to put out there about really supporting entrepreneurship driven by the University of Arizona in the region. How does Forge fit into all those different pieces that I just mentioned?
In a number of ways. I'm a scientist by background, and I love to kind of take scientific metaphors. I like to say that we're the interstitial fluid that go in between a lot of the different parts inside the university, connecting, for example, groups like Eller College and the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship to the community where we have entrepreneurs that are looking for access to students or looking for access to mentors. We work with Tech Launch Arizona faculty have invented and are trying to take a company forward. They come through the ICOR program, and we're there to chat with them and to see what we can do to help. And similarly, UACI, the incubator at Tech Parks, we have an exciting new pilot program that we just announced. So the top three companies that finished our most recent advanced entrepreneur program were each offered a spot there at UACI with a couple months worth of free services from them, which, you know, just helps us to further build out that pipeline, that ecosystem, whether it's Startup Tucson's Fundamental Series, McGuire's New Venture Development, Tech Launch's ICOR, community at large. They can all come through our Advanced Entrepreneur Program, and if they do well, they've got this spot at UACI, which is now up to 42 startups. Which is just fantastic. It speaks to the success of the ecosystem and the fact that we really do have a lot of promising startups in the region, and the fact that we can take AEP to help kind of create some glue and point them that way is one of the really great things about how we become that interstitial fluid and how we serve that purpose.
Could Tucson have a thriving entrepreneurship landscape without the university being involved?
That is a big question. I think it could have an entrepreneurship ecosystem. I don't think it would be as substantial for the simple fact that you have, I'm part of the research and innovation unit at the university, which today is something like $700 million a year in research funding. That is a huge driver of new ideas and exploration of topics. Then you throw in all of the power, the horsepower that we can put behind the commercialization of those ideas, or can put behind the most promising student ideas and get them launched, and be able to support them through a building like the Roy Place Building in downtown Tucson that the university invested $2 million in the renovation. All of these are things that I think it would be really hard to imagine in a non-university setting happening, or at least not happening this quickly.
Yeah, Brian, that was, I'll be honest, that was a bit of a leading question. Maybe I broke a journalist code, but my answer to that question is I think very much along the same lines is, I mean, yes, it could exist, but I think in successful areas, whether that is, you know, the Research Triangle on the East Coast, whether that is, you know, Silicon Valley and Stanford and that on the West Coast, I think you see successful areas where entrepreneurship is thriving. You have a strong university and research sector really backing it up and helping to drive it. I think it has to happen. Brian, I definitely, in our second segment, and we're already there, which is crazy, I want to talk about the three C's and what things look like going forward in 2021 for Arizona Forge. But I recall not too long ago, just to catch maybe our listeners up, the university wasn't as much of a driver in the entrepreneurship ecosystem, wasn't as involved in driving entrepreneurship forward. If you agree with that assessment, what has changed in even the last 5 or 10 years? The university has really doubled down on being a catalyst for entrepreneurship. What changed?
Well, let's see. In the last 5 years, I think you've seen Tech Launch Arizona really hit its stride, be nailing all of the, both from a patent and a commercialization licensing point of view, a number of university-affiliated startups have landed significant funding rounds. You've had the arrival of Carol Stewart at the Tech Parks in the last 5 years. You've had Betsy Cantwell to lead research and innovation. I'll pat myself on the back. I've joined the university in the last 5 years. I mean, I think there's just been a sea change in terms of the personnel and the appetite to see all of these things happen. And I'll throw one last thing in. I know we need to run to break. The state and the funding level that goes to the university has been on a continual trajectory down, which means universities have to find ways to pay for what they do from other sources. This, I think, has opened eyes to the reality that relationships with industry, relationships with whether it's venture capital or just non-traditional funding sources, and the commercialization can play an outsized role in the funding of universities and what they want to do to service their student population and the community beyond.
Yeah, Brian, I was really encouraged. I was looking up the New Economy Initiative, for example, which is something put together by the Arizona Board of Regents, and they are working with the three state universities on very university-specific initiatives around that. Of course, at the university, I was pleased to see really space tech, health tech, and mining. And I couldn't think of three sectors, for example, that are more primed for the university to drive some level of entrepreneurship around and pump out research and workforce around those areas. I think when the university is involved, good things happen, and certainly in Tucson. And I agree, it's even within the last 5 years, and I think it's a good thing overall. Brian, let's go to our first break of the hour. When we come back, we'll dive into the three C's you mentioned and get a overview from you about what does Arizona Forge's work look like in 2021, and how does it make those three C's happen as we explore how the university helps drive entrepreneurship here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. We'll be right back.
Local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Care's Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008. Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe A La Carte.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
And we're back here for part two of our conversation on Tipping Point with Brian Ellerman, the founding director of Arizona Forge, the entrepreneurial mindset, founder success, venture launch unit of the University of Arizona. We're just getting started here in this drive time hour, and we'll welcome back in Brian Ellerman on our live line here on 1030 The Voice. 520-790-2040 is the live line you can use to join in our conversation at any point today. Brian, you mentioned that in 2021, Forge's three C's of focus are going to be campus, community, and capital. It sounds good. What does it mean?
Well, obviously, the world is much more than a hashtag, right? I think we are kicking off the year. We're calling it Year of the Entrepreneur and Forge into 2021. Those are the hashtags. But more seriously, this week, we've been able to put forward a number of efforts, all related to one of the three C's. The first C, the campus, we call Forge at UA. We last semester we ran the Bear Down Mask Up Challenge, which asked students to come up with innovative ways to encourage their fellow students to wear their masks, socially distance, and so on. We're in the process of wrapping up another challenge called Engineer Your World. This came about from, especially because of the pandemic, looking at how hard it must be to teach particularly complex subjects, whether it's three-dimensional models in engineering or it's the music and arts, over Zoom with a webcam. And particularly as we move toward the hybrid world in which some students are in class and some students are online, we've asked in the challenge, come up with ideas that cost less than $25,000 that can be implemented in the classrooms to be able to teach these complex subjects. And we just did a Inspire Your World event on Tuesday to give those students a chance to give a two-minute pitch. We brought in a very successful alum from Pennsylvania who came out of the College of Engineering and is running a successful spirits company there to kind of get the students up and motivated. We are going to be judging all of these in about 2 weeks and awarding $1,000 to three winning teams. We're also in the process of developing a set of startup venture mini courses in the spring. These are, you know, kind of the venture 101, doing a lean business canvas. How do you pitch to an investor? And then we can tie these into classes. And I just want to tell you one really quick, which is called Pharmacology 460 with Professor Mike Hanna. The name of the class is Chemistry to Cures. She challenges her students to go from a concept of a drug-like molecule all the way to, can you launch a biotech company? And so we come in the last third of the class, and we give them more or less a boot camp on all of these pieces around, you know, how do you develop your pitch deck? If you're going to go for investors, what kinds of terms or what do you need to be looking out for, especially as a biotech company? That's all part of that campus piece. And then, you know, when we look at the community, one of the things that we're going to be doing, you know, we run this Advanced Entrepreneur Program three times a year, and this upcoming one, W21, will be all women entrepreneurs. So we will have an all-female cohort. Applications will open up next week, and we're really excited to be able to offer something like this. And I think this is part of your question. On the capital side, you know, we released a white paper in October around funding for early stage ventures and founders. Monday, we dropped a podcast on the Old Pueblo New Economy. I'm doing a panel with the Desert Angels in early February with Jeff Lang, the chairman. All of these are around funding options and valuation. And then I'm currently working with TechStars, 500 Startups, and Vulcan Ventures. They're all very interested in our ecosystem and getting involved, and are going to be either giving talks or otherwise looking at pipelines of companies. And I think it just all speaks to the number of ways in which having these kinds of catalysts can bring about new energy, new funds, and really move the economy forward.
Well, what do you think the end of 2021 looks like? If all these pieces come together and as all these things are happening, what does this mean for Greater Tucson and Southern Arizona? What's the vision behind all this?
Sorry, Zach, my earbuds decided that was the exact moment to stop listening. Would you mind repeating that?
Absolutely. Radio in the time of 2021. I love it. No, I was saying all these pieces are in place as they happen. You know, fast forward us here in your mind to December 2021. What is the impact of all this on Greater Tucson and Southern Arizona? You know, what does our region look like when these systems and these parts of the ecosystem of entrepreneurship are streamlined and fine-tuned and really running well? What does that look like for the rest of us?
So I think it's a mix of different impacts. You know, obviously, a lot of what we're doing with Forge UA is impacting the students and the students that are both at the university today, and what we can do to attract the best and brightest students to come to the university this coming fall. And so, you know, people don't realize just what an impact the quality and caliber of student coming to the university can have on the community. You think about internships and, you know, graduates who are candidates to come to work for local companies, and just the general thought leadership that can occur. All of these are impacted the better we do at raising the caliber of student and the kinds of ways in which we create a unique experience for those students as they go through. And then, you know, clearly with the Advanced Entrepreneur Program and the Forge at Roy Place effort, that's building a stronger and stronger pipeline that combines community entrepreneurs with student entrepreneurs, with faculty entrepreneurs. And I think, again, I always cling to this notion that at the end of this, one of the objectives is we raise the overall level of entrepreneurial sophistication in the community. And then, you know, I think the other thing toward at the end of this year, if we've got some of these major VC firms and accelerators paying attention to what we're doing, just think about the kind of interest that drives to our ecosystem to bring those folks in and to raise the caliber of startup that we have, the amount of capital that we have, and then ultimately the level of innovation for the broader business community, because now they have these startups to be able to work with, or these people with experience in entrepreneurship to bring into their companies and drive, you know, corporate innovation side.
That's amazing. You know, earlier this week and last week, we talked about Mayor Francis Suarez in Miami, Florida, and his efforts, his really catalytic leadership to bring technology and entrepreneurship to Miami in a big way. And I think we've thought about these conversations in terms of the Northeast and the West Coast, in terms of where are these hubs of tech and entrepreneurship. That geography is changing. And there is great opportunity for cities now like Tucson, which may not have been necessarily on the map, to be in on the map in a big way. And I think when entrepreneurs and companies look at Tucson, they're going to be asking, what does the pipeline look like? What does the talent look like? What is the ability in the region look like to start and grow my company here? And so as they answer that question, say yes, all those boxes are checked, as they start and grow here in Tucson, I think that raises the level for everybody. And I don't know, that's how I see it happening. We're about out of time, Brian Ellerman. Where can people go to keep track of all that you're doing and even connect with you on the side?
So our site is forge.arizona.edu, and on that page you'll find a link to sign up for our newsletter. We've also got news archives of many of the things that I mentioned today, links to recordings and other things that people are welcome to check out and then contact us.
Super. Brian Ellerman, again, the founding director of Arizona Forge, the entrepreneurial mindset, founder success, venture launch unit of the University of Arizona. If you missed any of this conversation, took us through halfway through our show today. You can go back to the podcast, check it out, kvy.com/podcast or iTunes or Google Play Music, and catch up on it. Brian Ellerman, again, Happy New Year to you, and thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Zach. Have a wonderful day.
You as well. We're going to go to our bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages break. When we come back, we will make sense of some of the big stories of the week, including the impeachment of President Trump. My thoughts on that as we close out the week and more. And then we'll talk financial planning with Jason Robinson over at Mass Mutual. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
The Why I Love Where I Live team has one wish for you this holiday season: to find joy wherever you are. As a local retail store celebrating community, what better way to end a difficult year than by buying your Christmas gifts locally and giving friends and family reminders of what makes Tucson and our community great. From books to jewelry to clothing, hats, gifts for kids, and everything in between, visit the retail store this holiday season at 267 South Avenida del Convento or online at whyiloveWhereILive.com.
Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Care's Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008. Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games, and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe A La Carte. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio this morning for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Our style, where NPR meets talk radio, is what you can expect every morning, 9 to 10 a.m. here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, if you're just joining us. And if you are just joining in, we just wrapped up our conversation with Brian Ellerman, founding director of Arizona Forge, the entrepreneurial mindset, founder success venture launch unit of the University of Arizona, speaking about a lot of things. If you missed it, check it out on the podcast, but talking about the role of the university in driving entrepreneurship forward out of the university and then also in our community, and it's really important. So that was a good conversation to end the week as we really bridge our focus and the stories we talk about both locally, statewide, and nationally. Want to close out the week here like we often do on Fridays, making sense of the week that was. What were the big stories and everything going on this week? What are some of the main stories to think about? What defined the week before? What may define the week ahead? And had to think that there were a couple of national stories, one in particular, that has also local impact that I wanted to speak to as we close. Because as many of you know, I'm not only trying to talk about what is happening, but how and why is it happening? How did we get to this moment in our American political life, in our local political life, in our narrative? How do we get here and how do we get back out of it? So I want to talk about the impeachment of President Trump. President Trump became the first president in American history to be impeached by the House twice. The House voted earlier this week 232 to 197 to impeach the president, 1 week after rioters mobbed the state capitol, and it was a very quick turnaround for the House. Again, the only president to be impeached twice. Of course, acquittal or conviction is now in the hands of the Senate, as it always is. And as I've thought about this a lot, and I've watched it on social media play out, I mentioned earlier this week that I didn't think that impeachment was the right decision for the country. And I wanted to follow back up on that by being clear that for me, that statement is not political. It's procedural. It's not about this president or that president. It's about policy, and mostly it's about people. And I wanted to flesh that out a little bit as I've been thinking about this. And I've talked to people who really disagree with me and people who really do agree with me. But I wanted to make it clear, it's not about a president or that president. It's not a political or a partisan view. It's procedural. 790-2040. You can give me a call and we can chat about this here for the next few minutes. Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, said, and I'm quoting, "Especially after the events of the last week,
it's so critical that we get a cabinet into place and we show the peaceful and efficient transition from one cabinet to the next. I think where we've gotten very much caught up, and I think social media plays a huge part into this, is that we've really turned in the impeachment process into a virtue signaling, and that's on both sides. My challenge with the impeachment of President Trump is that it puts up some major barriers to what I think is not just unity of the nation, but also a transition to the next administration in ways that I think impact people potentially in a very real way. I don't see the Senate convicting the president. I see it being a months-long process that gets into the way of major work that needs to be done to combat the virus and to transition administrations. I know a lot of people are tackling this issue from a political standpoint. I'm the weird guy in the corner of the room with a pragmatic procedural challenge with, I don't know what this achieves, but I do know what it gets in the way of. President Biden, we'll have to balance this trial with cabinet confirmations and work on a stimulus bill. No one talks about the fact that Senate leadership and the Senate majority shifts midstream. If Nancy Pelosi sends the articles to the Senate, which goes back into session with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, still the Senate Majority Leader, on January 19th, a day before the inauguration, Mitch McConnell would start this thing, but Chuck Schumer would finish it. But we don't really know when Nancy Pelosi is going to hand the articles of impeachment over to the Senate. She could do it right away. She could hold on to it for a month. She has options. We don't know. There's a statement by Senator Tina Smith, a Democrat out of Minnesota, to choose between holding accountability those who are responsible for attacking our democracy in the U.S. Capitol and getting the work done for the people around COVID relief. We have to do both. I'll also note Biden could enter office with none of his cabinet nominees confirmed. Those are intensive Senate conversations. It's going to be a 50-50 split. Those were already going to be difficult. If you don't think that asking senators to multitask between a tense impeachment trial and a tense confirmation of cabinet nominees, then you haven't been watching politics. There's a lot of procedural hiccups here with a result that I think most of us know are going to happen. Now, of course, this could all be easier if 100 senators, including 50 Republicans, agree to a fast decision. But we know that's not going to happen. And so I'm here stuck between, do we have a political slap on the wrist, or do we have major procedural challenges to overcoming COVID, getting relief out, getting the vaccine done, repairing the economy, confirming the new administration? I know I'm probably alone in this. And by the way, I want to be clear, this is not a moral signal on who is right or what is right. This is purely procedural. This is not about a president or that president. It's not political. It's procedural. It's about people. It's pragmatic. And I want to get to the phones here in a minute. I know we have some thoughts. But for me, it comes back to this big thought that we've really given ourselves over to theater. I posted this on social media. I read an article yesterday that I thought was really insightful. The point of politics is no longer to settle arguments. It's to keep them going endlessly. Over the last 50 years, our major political figures have been arguing about ideological wars, about culture wars, about identity politics, about who is the real victim, about who is divisive, about who is the bigger hypocrite and the bigger menace to decency. Is it any wonder that 50 years later, 50 years of that, we are here where we are today, where already there are Republicans who say, day one, I'm going to file for impeachment of Joe Biden. Now, is it going to go anywhere? Probably not. But we've now turned a very important tool to address serious problems over to political theater. And some would say, well, you know, an end goal of this might be that President Trump, if it's successful, President Trump and he's impeached, won't be able to run again. I pragmatically, again, this is not political. This is not theater. Pragmatically, I don't think he was, and I don't think he will. I mentioned earlier in the week that in the early part of November, 53% of Americans thought that they might support a 2024 run by then candidate Trump for a reelection 4 years later to the presidency. That number is now 40%. If the president were to run for president again, he would have to open himself up to new financial records and financial scrutiny, something that he hasn't done in the last 6 years. So there's a lot of barriers beyond the theater of this to anything pragmatically that I think is positive for not politics, for not theater, but for the American people. And I know this is an edgy perspective. I know Republicans and Democrats alike are approaching this politically. I'm approaching it pragmatically, on the ground, in these houses of legislation, in these chambers of legislation. This poses major procedural challenges that don't help you and I on the ground in the next few weeks. And that's what politics should be about, not endlessly keeping arguments going that have no end. So that's my thought here as we close out the week. I want to go to our phone lines if we still have Tony on the line. Tom, is Tony on the line with a thought on that?
He is, Zach. We're ready to go.
Super. Tony, I want to fit you in before the break. I appreciate your call in.
Thank you, and I appreciate your position. I, too, feel that I would just like this to go away. But yep, after giving it some really hard thought and looking at our Pledge of Allegiance, I was thinking to myself, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What President Trump did was traitorous and righteous, and he keeps perpetuating the big lie that he won. That to me is a sign of fascism, pre-fascism, and setting the stage for a dictatorship down the road for someone, not necessarily him, but for someone. Because if we have 74 million people that voted for Trump, and half of them still believe that he won, we have a real problem in this country. It's
Tony,
bad, and I think the only way to settle it is through a Senate vote.
Tony, I definitely appreciate your thought there. My question back to you, not as a challenge, but a question is I'm not sure if the Senate moves forward with anything. I'm not sure if this finalizes that the minds of 50% of the country are going to change on this issue. In fact, I worry about an escalation from this. And I think to your point, Tony, we're watching a lot of Wall Street and business leaders and CEOs put statements out there in the last week of enough is enough, and now can we just move on? I think
what that means too is that they're holding back funds, and what politicians love is to be greased in the palm by funds,
yep,
by corporations. So again, where are we going in this country? Are we headed towards a dictatorship? And that's the question I'm wrestling with, and I prefer a democracy, even as sloppy and as, and I don't think this is going to change anyone's mind, but I want to see women of courage step up of both political stripes and do the right thing. That's where I'm coming from.
Tony,
our country deserves it.
Tony, I appreciate your thoughts on that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Thank you for your thoughts. Appreciate you listening and calling in. I really do. And thanks for sharing on the air. Tom, and if there's nobody else, let's go to, on that note, let's go to our final break of the hour. By the way, if you agree or disagree with me there, I want to hear what you have to say. We're going to head to our conversation with Jason Robinson here, but zyenser@gmail.com, or you can find me on social media, on Facebook. Shoot me a message. Let's continue this conversation off the air. What is going to be best for you and me on the ground out of this? That's the question that I'm asking. Open to your thoughts. Tom, let's go and spin away to our final break. We'll be right back after this.
. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
It's the holiday season, and Jones Photo is your partner for giving and getting the gift of great art and photography. Whether it's taking the best family photo this year or printing and framing great shots of the desert Southwest and urban landscapes as amazing gifts, Jones Photo is here for all your photography, framing, printing, and learning and education needs. Don't miss out on the season and support local. Head to jonesphoto.com for more information.
Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info.
It's the holiday season, and Jones Photo is your partner for giving and getting the gift of great art and photography. Whether it's taking the best family photo this year or printing and framing great shots of the desert Southwest and urban landscapes as amazing gifts, Jones Photo is here for all your photography, framing, printing, and learning and education needs. Don't miss out on the season and support local. Head to jonesphoto.com for more information.
The Why I Love Where I Live team has one wish for you this holiday season: to find joy wherever you are. As a local retail store celebrating community, what better way to end a difficult year than by buying your Christmas gifts locally and giving friends and family reminders of what makes Tucson and our community great. From books to jewelry to clothing, hats, gifts for kids, and everything in between, visit the retail store this holiday season at 267 South Avenida del Convento or online at whyiloveWhereILive.com.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson in Southern Arizona, here in the 1030 The Voice studio. Our Friday edition of Tipping Point, this drive time hour of in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. In the last segment, and I'll let you go back and listen on the podcast if you missed it, we talked about how the theater of politics meets the process of making people's lives better, and often those two things are in direct conflict. I closed the week by talking about one situation here, a big story this week, where I think that is the case. But we are going to now transition over to a conversation I've been very much looking forward to with my good friend Jason Robinson with MassMutual. As we start the year in 2021, financial planning, what is it, why it's important, what it looks like, and why you should consider it. Jason Robinson, happy Friday to you. Good morning, sir.
Happy Friday, Zach. So I you know, I'm a huge fan of bad dad jokes, and I know you love coffee, so I got one for you. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
So I've been to a coffee festival, and this coffee tastes like mud. And they said, well, yeah, because it's fresh ground.
Oh.
So now that I got everyone's attention, let's go ahead and chat about some stuff that's serious. How about that?
Sounds good. And I think you broke up right in the beginning, but I did hear you say that we're not talking about decibels. So just to be clear there.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Our friend and sponsor of the program, Jason Robinson, you're the best. Let's get into the financial planning piece of it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're looking forward to this, Zach. I think, you know, we were thinking about coming first of the year, you know, New Year's resolution. How does financial planning kind of integrate with all of that? Thought, hey, if we came up with like maybe a segment over this next first quarter, if you will, you know, that's free to.
Right, Jason, I think you're breaking up just a little bit there, but yeah, absolutely. We thought here in the first quarter, it really stemmed from a question that that you asked me. You said, Zach, you know, you're thinking about financial planning. What questions do you have about financial planning? And I said, well, I don't really know what that means. I mean, I know how to budget and save and all of that stuff, but when we talk about a financial plan,
I actually don't know all that goes into that. What are the pieces of financial planning? And so maybe we can start there. When someone comes to you for that, what are all the pieces of that that go into it?
Yeah, I think that's fair, you know, Zach. So hopefully my phone's coming in good here. But I think that's a great first question is, you know, what does financial planning actually mean? So there's really kind of two things that I look at first. So one of them is, what does it mean to each person? And then maybe what's involved. So when we talk about, like, what does it mean to each person? What I have found through my tenure in over 10,000 meetings, I've seen all walks of life, is that financial planning is different to each person because they may be in a different point of their life. For example, young professionals versus retirees, different points in life. So it means a little different to each person. How about different considerations or priorities? So someone like a young professional, same point in life, they may be trying to manage debt reduction, where another one might be in a position where they're looking at starting to accumulate wealth. And then the last part too about this is different experiences. So fortunately or unfortunately, sometimes there's good, sometimes there's bad family experiences. So sometimes, you know, what are those experiences that you're getting from family advice? Maybe it's their own personal advice. So financial planning could really be significantly different to each person in different phases of the life. So really kind of what does it mean? I think it's important to know that each person has their own kind of spot. And it's important for our firm really to chat with people to really say, where are they at, to help them walk through that.
Right. And I imagine there are maybe some things that that cross over, even like if we were to think of maybe some commonalities, we could think about, you know, what does a savings plan look like? What does accountable budgeting look like? What does investing look like? Maybe it's a life and disability insurance, ensuring the things that can go wrong so you can invest in the things that can go right. Those pieces probably look all different depending on who you're talking to. But I can imagine that process of sitting down saying, what is your goal for the next 10 or 15 years? How do we save, invest, and protect to get there? Is that probably the common overarching conversation that you walk through? Again, different lengths, different experiences, different seasons, but is that kind of the financial planning big picture?
Yeah, so I think once you're really nailing it, but once we get to kind of, you know, finding out where they're at, then we get to the what is involved with the financial planning. And so there's first what I call the math modeling. So this is, you know, these are the technical analysis. This is the financial calculators that we use. But this really kind of gives us a target on what we're trying to aim for, or, you know, how do we, you know, how does the math work so that we can get out of the debt or wherever we're trying to go? Second thing is what we call the what and the when. So this is kind of what you're alluding to. So what financial vehicle is really the most appropriate for them in their situation, what are they trying to do? And then also when to use it. So sometimes even when we're doing some of the planning, we might say, yeah, it's going to be great to do Y, but we got to wait for X. So then it's just, okay, once X happens, then Y is what we do. And then the last thing is more on what I call like kind of the accountability. But maybe it's more like just having a coach, but quite honestly, a cheerleader to help us stay the course. Because as life changes, you know, sometimes we always think of it from a negative standpoint. How do we stay the course, or how do we change when this happens? But I've had some clients where really positive things happen in their life, and we've been able to celebrate with them as they knocked out the student loan or bought a piece of land that they're going to build their dream house on. So it's been a lot of fun too to be a cheerleader or even a coach along for the ride as well.
Over the next 3 months or so, you and I will have six different conversations on different parts of financial planning. This will be very much kind of listener and participant driven in terms of things that you and I hear are of interest. But are there one or two things that you're looking forward to doing a deep dive in over the next few months together here on the show together?
Yeah, I think we hit on a couple of different points. You know, we're talking about actually how to get started. We're going to talk about starting investments or how to be opportunistic. You know, we're going to talk through all of those different things to these segments. But one thing I will share with the, you know, with your listeners is it's now's the perfect point to have these discussions. And it's we as a firm really felt that it was so important that we have decided as a firm to actually reduce our fees over this first quarter so that we can make it less of a concern when kind of making that choice to say, hey, should is this the right timing to give them a call? We want you to know that it's so important to us that we're actually willing to, you know, reduce some of our fees to really help give you guys that just that incentive to say, give us a call. You know, we'll make this thing work. Let's get this thing started for you guys.
That's amazing. You know, we saw out of this crisis too, Jason, that companies that had a sound financial plan, savings, contingencies, strong business practices did much better. It goes for people and families, I think. And I know for mine that, you know, 2020 really shook us up to think a little bit more clearly about our finances. I don't want to run out of time, Jason, before we you put that out there of what your firm is doing, Jason Robinson, Mass Mutual. How can people get a hold of you to say, hey, heard you on the radio, and I want to participate. How do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. Best way is to call our office, 520-274-3749. That's really going to be the best way, and then we'll be able to call back and set something up. We're still doing virtual, you know, and if we really have to, we're taking some good steps to bring people in the office if that's what they prefer to.
I love it. Also, I just want to let our listeners know, watch for Jason and I on social media to be requesting of you, hey, what should we be talking about over the next, you know, few months here around financial planning? We want to be able to respond to that as well. Jason, have a great weekend. Really excited to be doing this with you over the next few months and appreciate you so much.
Absolutely, Zach.
We'll talk with Jason Robinson soon, Mass Mutual. And that does it for us here on the program for the week. We'll also be taking a pause from Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so we wish all of us thoughtful reflection, introspection on that day, and we'll see you back on Tuesday. Take care, Tucson. Bill Buckmaster at noon. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Take care.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk.